Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 91 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Hi, we're back. We made it in for a second week, although one of us, you will notice, is going to be absent for this podcast. Everybody needs to go and wish Bones from Crucible Radio better. He got hit by a thorn while eating his meal and is not doing too well. He's still waiting out the burn timer, so go tell him to start wearing that artifact because it's kind of important.
When you said that someone wasn't going to be here tonight, my first thought was, oh, where's Captain Falcon?
Yeah. So we're missing two people.
Oh, but yeah.
No, we got replaced with this. It's in the shop. I gotta had to have it buffed, you know.
Well, it's good to finally have the face right here while we're talking, Link.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm trying to look at the screen and at my camera.
I know, you're looking all around.
I'm not used to being on camera. It's usually just a microphone and that's it. Ugh. But man, yeah. Yeah, you gotta be professional and stuff. I don't like being professional. Yeah. Wanna have fun. You know, speaking of fun and fart jokes, what a week in Destiny it's been, right? Big news out there. We got some Iron Banner this week. Iron Banner Supremacy went live on Tuesday. How's it been treating you guys?
Wonderfully, amazingly, beautifully.
Good start.
The best Iron Banner yet, and I've never enjoyed Iron Banner, ever. Like, it's been something I've always had to tolerate, and this time around, I've like genuinely enjoyed it. It's a little tough, you know, it's like a little tough on the old matchmaking when you're playing solo, especially over here, but like it doesn't matter.
Always.
It's like you can pair me with folks on the moon. I will happily suffer pings from Jupiter if you're going to shower me in that much gorgeous loot. You know?
Now, you
know,
you have to be careful about who we talk to Iron Banner about these days, because if you've been active on Twitter lately, a lot of people have really... I feel like the Iron Banner has been splitting the community lately. Mm. From the people who I've talked to, it's either people saying things like, I love the Iron Banner. It was fantastic. What a great week, you know. Loot everywhere and Supremacy was great. And I've talked to some other people who are like, I am so tired of Supremacy. I'm done with this Iron Banner. I don't want to do it anymore. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man.
I think this is probably my favorite Iron Banner that they've done yet.
Yeah, I think Supremacy suits it. Yeah, Supremacy is a tough game mode. Yeah, you're going to get shotgunned an awful lot. You're going to get baited. You're going to get supered while you're collecting your crests. But it's an objective game mode. So you need to keep moving. You need to pick up them crests and you need to be very aggressive. It's a team play game. Just like Iron Banner should be a team play game, in my opinion. And it's nice that the next Iron Banner is not going to be Supremacy. We're going to get Rift or Control or whatever. It's going to rotate. So if you're not a fan of a particular game mode, you're at least going to get a chance to enjoy, you know, your favorite game modes and stuff. But I think Supremacy really did fit Iron Banner very, very well.
Yeah, you know, I've got to say, it really surprised me. Because I'm someone who, you know, played Supremacy, thought it was a pretty fun game mode. But I figured it would be a lot harder for solo players than it wound up being, at least in my experience. Because, you know, when we had Iron Banner Rift, like, one time, it was really heavily team-focused. If you weren't in there with a fire team and you were solo queuing, rest in peace. It was a really rough time. So I like that they're kind of cycling out these Iron Banner game modes. We've got Clash, we've got Control, and now we've got Supremacy. But I really had a pretty good time playing both in a fire team and solo in Iron Banner this time around. If you're trying to play solo and you're trying to figure out the key to success, run with the group.
Yes.
Find the most number of guardians on your team and stand next to them. That's the secret to winning. And I've had a lot of fun with it, and the drops have been fantastic.
Oh my, like, the new weapons. Oh my god. No. I mean, is there any do you think that I mean there's some folk out there that think, "Oh, we're having too much loot. We're getting everything too fast." And I think the thing is, though, all of these weapons have different roles. And I'm like, if your RNG, PLS, whatever you want to call it, is anything like mine, it's like, for once, I'm being showered in loot, and I want it to stay that way. You know,
yeah.
Has anyone got, like, I had hundreds of motes, hundreds of weapons parts, and everything, and glimmer.
Hundreds of unbent trees.
Yep, but so now nice. I've got nothing, because I've upgraded everything. Every weapon that Iron Banner's given me, I've tried it out, I've upgraded it, and I've got nothing. No resources, nothing, because I've upgraded everything. I think that was a very clever ploy from Bungie, like, shower them with loot this time, because we'll have them farming for every resource the game can offer right now. You know, I had glimmer. I had, like, I don't know, 200,000 glimmers just gone on upgrading stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it came at exactly the right time for me, because I'm trying to level up more on PlayStation 4. I only have one Guardian on PlayStation 4 right now, trying to get them way up there. They took Omnigull away from me. I'm fine with that. I understand why they did that. I made peace with it, all right? But I was looking for something else, and I love PvP. And they give us Iron Banner with tons of great loot and great drop rates. And I was like, yeah, this is what's happening this week. I'm all about Iron Banner. And I jumped up over 20 light levels since last week.
That's big.
I'm so happy about it.
From Iron Banner as well. I mean, just say those words out loud for a second. I leveled up 20 levels Iron Banner.
Well, I leveled up from other things too, but Iron Banner absolutely did help. Yeah.
I had a bunch of friends that leveled up significantly from playing Iron Banner. Like, Iron Banner should be one of those things that everyone looks forward to playing, and it kind of was before. There was always hardcore, you know, beastly veteran PvP gods that would look forward to Iron Banner no matter how intolerable it was. I was not one of them, but now I'm like, when's the next one? You know, well, the roles, I want to see more roles, because he's going to be, you know, Aphrodite's going to be selling god role, pulse rifles, you know, the Clever Dragon, which is a fantastic gun.
That thing is good.
I love the Clever
Dragon. It's really good.
Yeah. Isn't it nice to have different sounds for a pulse rifle?
Yeah.
It sounds very good.
You know?
I love the sound of the weapon.
The whole redesign, the sights and sounds and stuff is just a really refreshing thing to see, you know. So I'm very happy with that. And the hand cannon, oh my god, the hand cannon's amazing.
Yes.
Did you guys get any good rolls on your Iron Banner weapons?
Oh man.
And which ones did you get good rolls on? Because I only got one Clever Dragon. And I'm not going to complain. I'm glad I got one. Some people I know didn't get any. But it's not a great roll. So it's kind of like a bitter feeling of happiness right now. Wish I had gotten something a little better.
Okay,
but maybe I can live through you. What guns think do you of have this? That have good rolls?
Clever Dragon, I got Send It, Hand Laid Stock, Snapshot,
okay.
Feather Mag, Range Finder, or Secret Round.
That's okay. Pretty good.
That's pretty
I like
good.
It.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a Clever Dragon with a lot of stability on it. That's what I was hoping for.
Stability is 94, so it's like 6 points away from max on that one. But the range is like 20, but I don't care so much about for the range as much as the stability. So with Rangefinder anyway, like that, I would say it's probably one of my strongest pulse rifles at the moment. Hand cannon, not so lucky, but again, very usable. Hammer forged. Hand laid start, quick draw, extended mag, range finder again, firefly. I actually got the hand cannon twice, but that's the better roll on that. And then obviously people who are grinding for the unbent tree, what a name.
Yeah.
You were looking for that counterbalance roll. I managed to get one of those after, I think it was yesterday, and I played many, many hours of Iron Banner. So all in all, like I cannot ever say hand on heart that I've had this much good stuff from Iron Banner ever, and I think that's what should incentivize people to play. And the loot's great, the bounty system's great, the removal of heavy kills, the removal of wins from bounties, the whole thing now is like ginormously accessible for players of all skill sets, and it's really motivating people to actually play, which is like, it didn't work that way at all before. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something like, oh, I'm only going to start playing it on Friday when the buffs are high, because it's going to be laggy, it's going to be chaotic. I'm going to grind it at the very last minute. So if you wanted to play Banner at the beginning of the week, there's not much of a player pool to choose from, and now it's like, you know, every man and his dog was playing Iron Banner now.
I got the scout rifle with hand-laid stock, full auto, and hidden hand, and it's like, jeez. I just can't, like, not hit people. It's amazing. Yeah. It's so stable.
Dude.
He's back. He's back in the room.
Hey, welcome back. Hello. Sorry.
We were talking trash about you the whole time.
Error code Vulture.
Error code Beaver. Yeah. You got Beaver Error from code Skype. Nice.
We were talking about how none of us got the scout rifle, you know, except Mag. And I'm mad about it. It's a Mita multi-tool archetype, right?
Do you want to hear the roll?
I did get one.
Do you want to hear the roll I got on this?
Yes. Story got it too. Let's hear it.
let me tell you what roll I got.
Yeah, open her up. Tell me.
Let's see.
We got braced frame, hand laid stock, lightweight, high caliber rounds, Eye of the Storm, and crowd control.
That sounds all right.
It is good. Like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, man. Like, I get really good rolls on scouts because I don't really use them that much. I've never been like a Mida fan. You know, but that one,
that's
like,
surprising.
I used it on Last Exit on Iron Banner and destroyed people. Like, for the right range, that scout rifle is king. It really is. If you've got like very long range engagements and stuff like that, but up close, you know, not so much, but. Yeah, very, very.
You
got to
be
pleased.
Careful who you tell that you're not really a fan of the Mita multi-tool.
Well, you know,
too late.
I just told everyone.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
you just basically gave everyone in the Twitch chat the finger.
No,
like, I don't understand how you can not like it.
I don't know. I don't know, man. First of all, that put me off was the look. It was a cosmetic thing. I thought I don't like. The way it looks.
It looks so
right. Good. The next thing I didn't like about it is that the bullets always followed me through walls and around corners. So that I'm like, it annoyed me. And then, but of course, it's one of those weapons where, you know, it does require some, just a slice of aim to use, kind of, sort of, maybe, possibly. But yeah, it doesn't really suit my gameplay. I've always been a hand cannon man. The moment that I started playing Destiny, the first thing I picked when I went to the gunsmith was that Duke. I picked that, and I've stayed with hand cannons ever since. You know,
I can't remember if I told you about the hand cannon my brother picked up from Iron Banner. Did I tell you about this?
Not yet.
No. Is it
okay? Negative. Let me tell you. So he picked up the Iron Banner hand cannon, and the way that the perks are on the gun. It has Luck in the Chamber, and because it is of the same archetype as the Ill Will, it means that if you shoot them in the head and Luck in the Chamber activates, you can get a two-shot kill.
Yep.
And the perks on his gun have cut the magazine down to 4 bullets in the chamber.
Oh my god.
So no. He has a 25% chance of Luck in the Chamber proccing when he shoots the gun.
He's been having so much fun. I have that same thing. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's genius.
What is it? Is it small bore that he has on there to lower
small
the magazine?
Small bore, and then there's one more. He has small bore with something.
It's like rifle.
I can do it right now. I'm looking at my screen. I have braced frame and feather mag and Luck in the Chamber. I didn't even consider doing this. It's genius.
You know, since
we're just seeing Mega disappear from the Skype chat now,
yeah,
and then
right now I'm just gonna go hop into a game and try this out.
I'm gonna do that real quick.
Like I'm looking at mine now because I got the hand cannon too. And for those who don't know, it's a 94 impact, 15 rate of fire, I believe. So same archetype as Timmer's Lash from Year One, which really made me happy. Yeah. Mine came with a reinforced barrel, hand laid stock, quick draw, high caliber rounds. Luck in the Chamber and Mulligan. So,
nice.
That sounds pretty good.
I'll take that. We take those.
We take those.
Luck in the Chamber dodges me every time. I don't think I've had a single hand cannon in the 3 years of playing Destiny, with the exception of Hawkmoon that has Luck in the Chamber.
I was about to say, gotta have the Hawkmoon, man.
I'd love a fixer with brace frame or rifle barrel and Luck in the Chamber. I'd love to see that land, but every Crucible package I've cashed in since Rise of Iron came out has given me the Saturian rapier.
Rapier.
That's all I get every time consistently. But today's one dropped at 387. I can't complain. You know,
gains. That counts. That counts.
So, do we have any strategy to talk about for anyone out there who's going to keep playing Iron Banner tonight? Who's going to keep playing Iron Banner tomorrow? Talk a little bit of strategy.
My first piece of strategy is going to be: don't quit. because Supremacy is the one game where I feel like a comeback is always possible.
It is, yeah. Absolutely.
And loot. Yeah, you know, even on, it doesn't matter if you're on the losing team and you got nothing apart from burn. You know, rage and burn. There is still the possibility that something might drop that's going to make your time worth it.
Yeah. And just with the way things are, like, literally loot is flying through the Iron Banner right now, it's worth it. Even if you're going to be taking an L, it's absolutely worth it to continue playing. Yeah, got so many shotgun and auto rifle drops in this, plus some of the old year one Iron Banner armor is dropping in the tournament. It's pretty rare, but I've gotten some of the Iron Regalia gauntlets and whatnot just from a post-match.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm all right with
that. You can get the old stuff from those dusty engrams that Lord Saladin is selling as well for, what was it, a few pieces of silver dust. You can go and pick up
five silver dust.
Old school armor. I just tested it. I picked up one and I got those really weird hunter boots, you know, the ones that kind of look like fly fishing waders. They're like really like they're like trunks kind of thing. They're really strange. But yeah, that was it. That was interesting. There was another thing I was going to mention about Iron Banner.
I was going to dive in for strategy real quick.
Yes, let's go for it.
Yeah, let's,
he's clearly the one.
The actual crucible champ.
I got this on the line. So I think a lot of people who are frustrated right now with Iron Banner are coming from the mentality that they're not used to the close quarters combat oriented gameplay that is Supremacy, because it favors close quarters fighting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So before you go in, you're going to have to kind of shift your mentality a little bit. But it's the same way for other game types. If you go into, you know, control, you're going to want to lock down two territories, and then you're going to try and control the map with your teammates. If you're going to go into rumble, you're going to try and play very fast, aggressive, you know, stuff like that. So before even going into the game, just know that you're going to have to do a lot of fighting up close. Would you guys agree, probably?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Almost absolutely. All the fighting is very close quarters, which is why you're seeing so many shotguns
in
Supremacy right now. By its very nature, you have to be close to your opponents to pick up their crests. And so almost all of the engagements take place in close quarters. Not to mention quite a few of the new maps are close quarters, just nothing but CQC maps.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
And listen, if you don't have a shotgun, if you don't like using shotguns, that's okay. You just have to make sure that you're being realistic about when you go into fight, that you know that you're going to be spending a lot of time up close. So if you really like to snipe, you can do that too. But maybe pair your sniper with something that will do well up close, like a Last Word, something like that. And remember that when you're playing, not every crest that you get from killing an enemy is a crest that you have to run after and get.
Yeah.
You have to be patient because people are baiting a lot. Yeah. And sometimes it's just not worth it, even if they're not intentionally baiting. Let's say you kill someone halfway across the map and there's a crest right there. Now, you might be tempted to run over and get it, but maybe it's in a bad map location. Maybe the enemy team is all in that area, and if you run in, there's a high chance that you'll get killed. It's okay to let that crest go, because you're still building your super with your team, you're still gaining map control, and you're still putting them at a temporary number disadvantage. So just make sure that you play patient, and keep that mentality of, I need to fight enemies in close range if I really want the crest, and I need to stay with my teammates. Because if you die, it doesn't really matter if you're staying with your teammates for most of the time, because even if we're all playing together, I get picked off, big deal. Yeah. I mean, Link is right behind me. He'll pick up my crest, and we're back to even footing.
Yeah,
that's right.
And if you're playing in solo queues, there was a mistake that I kept seeing. I mean, the playing in solo matchmaking for me over here was not very enjoyable for a bunch of reasons, but like, I think as far as the team strategy goes, what I was seeing a lot of players do is they spawn in and they just run to the middle of the map. It's that, like, literally the 101, do not do this in Destiny PvP. If you spawn in and you run to the middle of the map, you're not helping out anybody. And, you know, you really are being a detriment to your team. So it doesn't mean camp. Just try and stick to the outsides of the map and go with the herd on that one. Because if you run to the middle of the map, the chances are that if too many of you do that, you're going to split spawns and you're going to get people spawning behind you. And you're going to be stuck in the middle of the map with a million different angles on you. And you're just going to get, you know, farmed like an hors d'oeuvre on a buffet table, you know,
in a
sea of starving people. So just be consciously aware of that, you know, like stick it. It's like a circle jerk, ring of roses thing. If you're going with a herd, go stick to the outsides of the map, you know, keep going around, swirl it up, you know.
You have to play a little bit of footsies, right?
Yeah.
It's like both teams are kind of holding back a little bit. You play a little bit of footsies, and then once you start to chisel and chip away at the enemy team, you pick one of them off, your team moves up a little bit, you're closing the gap on the enemy team, and then you start picking them off more and more. It's a snowball effect, and then you run in, you collapse, you finish them off, and you get the crest, and then you do it again.
Rinse.
And you know, is so good at explaining everything I do wrong in every match.
Seriously. But I was gonna say, you know, and like something Fallout said a little bit earlier, don't be afraid to die, especially if your teammates are right near you, because they'll be able to pick up your crest. One of my favorite things to do in Supremacy now is when you have both your teams, your team's with you, your enemy team's, say, right behind a door in a room, and you know they've all got shotguns, they're sitting there and they're waiting for you to come in. What I like to do is bait at least one of them out towards the door, take him out, know that the rest are waiting there, I'll rush in and just give myself up for the horde, and let them all unload that first shotgun blast. Because a lot of the time, they all tend to fire at the same time, so I'll just go in there, sacrifice myself. Immediately after I die and they've all wasted their shot, my entire team floods in. Complete wipe. And it's like, I may have died, but my teammates got my crest, and we got all the enemy team's crest now. Yeah. So don't be afraid to die. And
the rarely seen ammo wasting tactic.
That's right. Everybody tends to blow their shotgun load with a Matador, and you know how long it takes to refire if you miss that shot.
Oh, yeah.
So it happens a lot. It works really well on stuff like Asylum. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
But a lot of what Supremacy is can really be broken down to just staying with your group.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, if you're a solo player who's afraid to go into Iron Banner, don't be. Just go in, stick with the group. Team shotting is so important already in the normal metagame of Destiny.
Yeah.
And it's literally what Supremacy is built on. You need to be with your group so that you can team shot, get kills, pick up crests.
Yeah.
Not to mention the super farming that you get from that, because once you get into a train of your group moving around a map, killing people, picking up crests, you get your super like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much you can super farm in Supremacy.
Yeah. And if you're wearing one of the old Memory of Scurry or whatever it is, the Moments of Scurry, I can't remember the name, the Scurry.
Memory.
Something about Memory of Scurry.
Memory of Scurry.
That's good. That's a good team play thing.
I have a video on that coming out tomorrow on my channel. Very in-depth.
Nice.
Keep your eyes peeled for that.
There we go.
I'll be watching that. I only just dipped a toe in it today in both Supremacy and Trials, so...
Yeah. It's a good artifact.
Yeah.
But, so enough about Iron Banner for now. Why don't we talk a little bit about the recent... This week at Bungie. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Good plan.
Starting off with Wrath of the Machine. So the big news is that Wrath of the Machine Heroic Mode is officially on the calendar to come out on October 18th.
Yep.
What do you guys think about that?
It's good. I mean,
yes.
It's I don't think it's too soon. I think it's come at the right time. You know, I think everyone's itching. We've played Wrath of the Machine substantially quite hard, I think, by now. We're looking at there's even more gear as well. It's like the loot pool is widening. There's new armor. There's a chance at a new shader. There's also those two question marks in your iron book that you're dying to know what they are. You know, what have we got to do in heroic mode in order to fill in that OCD spot in iron book? I'm itching to get started with that and find out what exactly is going to be making the Wrath of the Machine heroic this time around. Is it going to be the fact that we're underleveled, or are there going to be completely brand new mechanics added, and have we got some new areas opened?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what it is that they're going to do. I mean, how much more difficult are the mechanics going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How quickly did the world's first team complete the original raid? What was it like?
I think it was like 2 hours.
Yeah, 2-3 hours. They burned.
It was a lot faster than King's Fall.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
But that being said, do we think it'll be relatively on par? Because we know the basic gist of the raid, but we don't know what kind of wrenches Bungie are going to throw right into our cogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be 3 hours. Maybe it'll be 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked a little bit about that last week and just trying to figure out what they could do mechanics-wise to make Wrath of the Machine harder. I think we all agreed that we don't just want to see them throw a bunch of extra major vandals and captains into each and every encounter. I don't need that. But just little things. I tried to sit back and think of each encounter, like maybe with the first boss, maybe having two monitors active instead of one. But really, for the most part, I have no idea what's going to be coming with this.
Yeah,
no idea how they're going to revamp things for the heroic mode.
I don't know why, but I'm expecting to be surprised. I mean, I was unexpectedly surprised with Wrath of Machine anyway. So I don't know. I'm expecting some. Some smoke screens and cloak and dagger, really.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that they throw something weird into the jumping puzzle. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Well, don't tell my dad about adding anything to the jumping puzzle.
Does your dad not like the jumping puzzle?
He don't like jumping.
Didn't play much Mario? Mega Man 2 back in the day. Yeah.
No, like, he don't like the jump. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of jumping because, you know, I get the aggravated tendon quite quickly, and King's Fall was the first time that I did that. I had to take a break, man, and go and get some ice.
That's weird. The jumping puzzle in King's Fall is my favorite part of any raid.
Really?
Yeah, I love jumping. I'm the opposite.
Yeah, I love the jumping puzzle. Yeah. I think it's so much fun. It's just weird. Yeah. And
I know. It's a fun thing for someone who sucks at shooting.
Definitely not something you would expect, especially when you're walking into a raid in a first-person shooter. I can remember the first time I went through Vault of Glass, and we got past the Gorgon Maze. God, I love Vault of Glass,
by the way.
And we get past the Gorgon Maze, and it's just this big chasm, and it's like, what do we do now? Oh, there's jumping in here?
Yeah. Oh, that was so much fun.
Many guardians were lost that night.
Yeah.
Because everything we had done in PvE, for the most part, up to that point, had been go here, shoot this person, go here, shoot that person, defend the objective.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going in, the first time ever in the Vault of Glass, I was blown away. I think the Gorgon Maze, to this point, is one of my top 10 probably favorite moments in the game. And you're just like, what do we do? Just ran in. We started shooting them, obviously, right off the bat. We're like, wow, these things are really strong. Okay, they killed us. We must not be killing them quick enough.
Like, gotta kill all
how do
them.
We kill them fast? Gotta go fast. But I just hope they throw in something a little bit more unique for the mechanics of heroic mode Wrath of the Machine. I want to see something a little more tricky. If they don't throw it in, I'll be fine. It's still a fantastic raid.
What could be more unique than the global reaction to the jumping puzzle in King's Fall, apart from I just got knocked off the edge by something that looked remarkably like a giant piston phallus repeatedly, you know, like everyone has like affectionately called them the penis pumps.
The dick wall.
Yeah, I just got screwed by the dreadnought, literally.
Yeah.
Out of the wall.
In my ear! This thing went in my ear and pushed me in there. But yeah, like, I don't know, man. I don't think that was kind of comical. I'm expecting something more sinister for the Wrath of the Machine. You know, if there is anything that's going to be added, I think I'm expect something dark.
Something dark.
Something dark, ooh. Yes. Dark and mysterious and sinister.
Ooh. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair.
Well, what else do we have in the... We kind of went off on a little tangent there about
we're allowed.
Raid.
we're allowed.
It's our podcast.
We encourage that here.
Yeah.
Was anybody surprised by the date, you know, October 18th?
I mean, they usually do stuff on... It's the reset day. It's a Tuesday. Yeah. I would prefer...
And I think most people figured it would be coming mid-October.
Yeah, sure.
I really don't think there was too much surprise there.
No, not really.
I'd really prefer it if one of these days they were just like, yeah, you know what? Screw it. We're doing it on a Friday. But it would kind of throw the weekly rotation off, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because people like to do the raid, get it done, and then that way they have a whole week to do whatever they want. And then next Tuesday they can do it again, grind out the gear, yada yada.
Yeah. The beginning of the Destiny week starts on Tuesday.
That's true.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, baby. Well, further on in the This Week at Bungie, they have another Bungie bounty, which I always really look forward to. I've never found them in there. Never found them. But I'm always hopeful. And the next Bungie bounty is scheduled for... When is this scheduled for?
October 12th.
Oh, this week.
That's right. And you said you never found any of the Bungie employees in there. This one should be a little bit easier because they're going to be doing it a little bit differently this time. Rather than just going into a live play environment and you just have to get luck of the draw, they're actually going to be hosting private matches where they're going to be pulling people from their the chat, I'm guessing on their official Twitch page, to just invite people in. So
that's in there, Fallout. Yeah, that's a good way.
Give
of
them
doing
the
it.
Hands.
Teach them. Teach them how it's done.
Oh, but they're doing it at 10 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I really hope they go for quite a long time. I'm not sure that they will, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just for those don't know, what is the Bungie Bounty all about, and what happens and what do you get out of it?
Good point. Well, the Bungie Bounty is when Bungie themselves, the makers of our favorite game here, they roll into PvP, and you have the opportunity. It used to be you would have to find them in matchmaking, but the bottom line is still the same. You find them in PvP one way or another, you play against them, and if you beat them, you get something cool, right? Don't you get like an emblem or something?
A really nice emblem, I think.
A unique emblem, yeah.
There you go. And you also get bragging rights that you got to play and beat Bungie.
Yep.
Go beat up the devs at their own game.
Yeah, man.
Ultimate bragging rights.
I know.
So yeah, pretty cool. And it's going to be Supremacy this time, right?
I'd imagine Yeah, I think.
What to say?
Show Supremacy, off the new mode. Yeah.
Yeah, they gotta push the new mode as much as possible. Yeah.
It's on PlayStation 4. I should make that clear. Mm-hmm. Only on PlayStation 4. But they did mention that they are going to do another one in the near future, and they're going to do it on Xbox.
Good. I assume they pick PS4 because they're scared of me. I mean,
obviously, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
They're sitting all in the boardroom. You know, we need to do another Bungie Bounty. It's been ages since we've done one. Why don't we do one on Xbox? Wait a minute.
No.
Is that Mega Magwitch guy? Play on Xbox?
Hold it on PlayStation 4. There we go.
Bail. Totally bail.
Oh, yeah.
But later on in the This Week at Bungie, they had something that really caught my eye. I was excited about. They wrote, outside the path of the Siege Engine, a.k.a. Wrath of the Machine, you will also partake in festivals and races.
Yes.
All will be revealed, including exact dates.
Laying it on a little thick there, I think.
Yeah. What do they mean? What could that possibly be?
Get raid secrets
somebody
on this stat.
Datto on the phone. The code.
Yeah, no, looks like we got a hard, not really a hard, but a pretty soft confirmation of the return of Festival of the Lost, probably the end of this month, and of course Sparrow Racing League later this year.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a good thing Bones isn't here to be triggered by all the vault space that is about to be used up.
Oh my god. Yours is going to get hit, isn't it, mate? If there's more cosmetics and masks and theatrics, are you going
to
be in trouble?
I'm looking forward to it, let me tell you. I love new cosmetics and fun things for videos.
Oh, yeah.
Very
I want my Saladin mask. I need it.
Oh, my word.
And I need it to be supersized, like my whole head space to be Saladin. And I want it to have a hitbox so people can shoot
me. I'll
be
hunting for that Aphrodite one. I want to be Aphrodite for a day. Never mind this king.
Oh, you
want to
be Bay?
Yeah, right, I want to be Bay for a day.
Bay for a day?
Yeah, man.
How you doing?
Why not?
Yeah, you know, Festival of the Lost, I thought it was a really fun little event last year, with all the bags of candy and then getting the masks and whatnot. And, you know, I still have a lot of those masks, like the engram mask and the speaker mask. Yeah. Oh, really good idea. I wish it didn't take up so much vault space because half my vault space is event stuff, but I'm looking forward to it.
I just love the reaction from the whole Destiny community. Literally, like, Twitter just went, you know, nuclear with, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on?
You know, like, giving up Kennedy of the Tower, man. Yeah, man.
So, yeah, do you reckon it's going to be this, like, more or less the same kind of thing? Like, something very festive, something very jovial, nothing serious, just sheer comedy? Or is there going to be something like, I don't know, loot or something like that to be earned this time around?
I mean, even if it was only cosmetic, I'd be okay with it. But
sure, yeah.
I'm sure they're going to incorporate in something, somehow. Knowing Bungie, they're gonna do something interesting.
I still want to know why I've got raisins. Still, what were they for?
Hold on to it.
Yeah, I'm holding on. There's no way I'm getting rid of that. You know, because
you're
gonna get one
year 10. You're gonna use
it. Hold on to the raisins until year 10. I have a very reliable source that tells me you will get a ultimate Gjallarhorn that shoots thorn rounds.
Oh my word.
It shoots thorn rounds, and it has the OG 1.0 pocket infinity effect. So if you miss, those rounds go back to your magazine, and it just auto-fires.
Oh,
so you just hold the trigger.
And it's like universal remote. You use it in the primary position.
Uh-huh. It's a primary. Wow. There you go. That's why you hold those raisins. You have to collect at least 100. Hold on to them, Guardians.
I wonder if this opens up a doorway. Like, the raisins, once eaten, you can equip an exotic in every single inventory slot that you have. So you can have exotic helmet, chest piece, gauntlets, boots, and a primary, secondary, special, heavy, everything, you know?
I feel like Bungie should be taking notes
right now.
They're in the Twitch chat. Yeah, raisins. Yeah. Exotics, everything. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I'd imagine we're probably going to have another quest line tied to Festival of the Lost, just like we did before. Which did you guys do the quest line with the festival last year?
Some of those
steps were hilarious. Walk off the tower as Atheon.
Yes. I forgot about that. Oh, that was great.
Yeah. I'm glad Bungie's got a sense of humor about what us warlocks used to do back in year one.
Oh, you know what would be funny? If they did, because I'm trying to think of what other kind of inside community jokes they could do. Maybe they'll do something about Omnigul, because they just had to nerf her. Maybe it would be like, you put on an Omnigul mask and you get burned to death, or you get killed by like a rocket launcher in the Crucible.
Yes.
Or something like that. I don't know.
I like this. I like these ideas.
That'd be fun.
Feel the pain of Omnigul.
I'm wondering what kind of emotes they're going to, if they're going to have any fun, like, Halloween emotes, or if they'll bring back old ones, like the Thriller Dance, or if they're going to have new.
That's
got
to come back. It'd be cool if
they were available as well, but I'd like to see some new ones, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's the tradition, like, expanding on the emote collection, definitely, for the festive seasons,
I wonder if they're going to decorate the Not just the tower, but the temple. Like, are they going to decorate the temple? Like,
that's a good question.
They're going to put face paint on the wolves or something like that.
You think Saladin would let them?
I mean, we
know Zavala's kind of a stickler, but he let things slide in the tower. You really think Saladin would be like, all right, hang up some streamers?
He might not look good. Let that fly.
There's already a fire on the peak of the mountain. I really feel like they should have someone up there telling scary stories the entire festival, and you can just go sit around the fire. That's what I want.
Have it at nighttime and then putting a torch under their face kind of thing.
That'd be cool. Just get a night version of it.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm really also excited about Sparrow Racing.
Yes.
I know that's not as close as Festival of the Lost.
No,
we've got waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, we've got some time to wait for that, because I'm hoping that because it was fun. I wasn't expecting it before. And the community had been asking for Sparrow Racing for a long time, and when we got it, it was a lot of fun. It was just like we had two maps, didn't we? We only had two tracks to play on.
Two
tracks. You know, and so it'd be nice to see what happened
to me. We need more maps. That was the only problem with it. I felt
there was a grind.
You know, I always thought I always thought that was a result of them not really expecting it to be as popular as it became.
Yeah.
Which can be like the life story of Destiny. We didn't think it'd be this big.
Yeah, man.
But I would certainly hope that this time around they have more than just two maps. Yeah. Because yeah. you get tired of those same two maps over and over again.
And especially yeah, when definitely. You've got so much variety of terrain to choose from in the Destiny world. Yep. So they've had a whole year this time around to work on
I
the feedback.
They should make a map based on the running segment in the beginning of Crota's End and just have it be pitch black down yes. there, and you can just have to just get pitfalls? To the lights. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Hundreds of thrall on the track that you've either got to mow down or dodge or, you know.
That. Did you guys get as hooked on SRL as I did in terms of, like, getting the fastest time possible? Because I know you got some pretty cool gear out of it. My yeah. Hunter was all about that gear. Like, I dedicated... Mm. my Hunter only mm-hmm. to racing. I don't know why. I just thought that the Hunter was like... That was in my head.
Feel sleek
like,
for
yeah,
racing.
You feel sleek. Yeah. I was like, mm-hmm. Hunter, you're going to be the race guy now. You're going to be the race guy. And I was so into trying to just shave any amount of time off that I could. Because I play mm-hmm. Destiny with my girlfriend very mm-hmm. often. And we get very... very competitive with each other.
You're competitive? Really? Oh.
Never knew that, you know?
Get out of
weird.
Town.
Doesn't seem like you.
No. No, but she had gotten a great time. Great time. And then I would work to get a better time. And then it was kind of like, beat that. And then I would go off and do regular PvP. And then she'd be like, check it, new score. And I'd be like, damn it. And it would go back and forth like that all weekend. And then... the more you do it, there's only so much you can shave mm-hmm. off, you know what I mean? You can't keep cutting off 5 seconds off your time. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the weekend, I was doing anything I could to shave like a quarter of a second off my time.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting on Xbox, on the Venus map, I can't remember if it was this way when it ended, but I had a top 100 worldwide time.
Yo.
On the dang. Venus track.
All right.
Yeah.
I was like all about that racing.
Did you get that timestamp tattooed anywhere? Is there?
Yeah.
It's on my butt.
All right then.
Okay. Wow. Gonna name his first board 136 after his fastest lap.
Good old one.
Yeah, I got pretty heavy into it, especially because it was dropping gear like crazy. I think that's actually how I got my first character. This was December last year. I think that's how I got my first character to 320.
Yep, 320
just by
hours.
Playing Sparrow Racing League. So I was really into it. I had a really great time with it. And the shaders. It was almost worth grinding it out for the shaders
just
alone.
Just for the pink Ranger shader.
Yes!
I like the class items.
I can literally live that dream.
The Hunter class item was great. I mean, all of them. They were like really unique. And for the first time ever, we saw class items that had Reputation Boost for Crucible and Vanguard on the same class item. I'd like to see more of that because like some of the class items, they're very, very different from each other and they don't mix and match. So having those perks like as a double-edged blade was awesome. I'd like to see more, you know?
Yeah. Another thing that I feel like we haven't really even talked about is the redesigned Sparrows that came because of it. Like, I love all the awesome Sparrow designs.
Yeah, man.
Now, when you throw on an old Sparrow, it's like, it just doesn't look as cool.
Man. I'd expect maybe we might get a new design, possibly, I think, for Christmas.
I hope so.
Something to kind of variate the old cosmetics. I mean, they're all going to feel and play and sound similar, but like just something that looks a little different would be nice.
They should make a Christmas-themed one with reindeer powering it.
Like a sledge. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I hope that when it does come out, that there's like a very good Sparrow option that has many similar options, because I don't know if you guys remember last Sparrow Racing League, there was one vehicle that was better than all the others. It was like the Red Bull one. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was just a hair better. This is like the only time that I can really say for certain that Bungie was like, it was like, quote, pay to win.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to beat my girlfriend's time and I didn't have the Red Bull Sparrow. And I was like, you know what? Damn it. I was like, so I went out and I did that whole quest line and I got the Red Bull Sparrow because I wanted to beat her time. I wanted to get the best Sparrow that I could. But I hope there are more options for people who don't want to go through something like that.
Yeah. And didn't you only have access to the Red Bull Sparrow if you'd got that quest line from Red Bull itself, like the one that gave you the focus line?
Yeah, you had to buy a Red Bull and can. Yeah.
And in Europe, the only way that you were getting it is by getting your US friends to get you a code off one of the ring pulls on the can. Yep. You know, they didn't sell any of the Red Bull in Europe at all.
So, good for Europe.
Yes. Yeah, we got stiffed. I had a friend send me codes, you know, like from a bunch of Red Bull. Yeah, so I got into that. But I didn't know that was the best Sparrow, though. I only just found that out now.
Yeah.
That's the best
Sparrow. It's a little bit faster than all the other ones. It's called, what is it, the Swift River?
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. It's the SR1 Swift River. I've got Swift it in front River, of me right now. Yeah.
It's a little bit faster than everything else.
A little bit faster, and it was a Trick Sparrow. And the Trick Sparrow was the... Yeah. I can't believe I'm talking about the meta of
racing.
Sparrow race. But the meta was to get a Trick Sparrow, and the Red Bull one was the fastest one. And the reason that you wanted it was because... every time you did a trick in the air and you land, then your Sparrow energy would be recharged.
Just a little bit.
And it was the side-to-side mobility to hit those gates, which is what you really, really needed, which is why Trick Sparrow was, like, really cash.
Didn't know that, man.
No matter what I'm playing, I will find out the best way to do it, and... just do the hell out of
Where's your SRL strategy video? When's that going to be posted?
it's coming out, baby.
I need a breakdown.
But I went into 7-Eleven to get, like, I literally ran out because I was like, screw this, I'm getting the Sparrow. Gotta beat my girlfriend. And I went to 7-Eleven down the road. And they had the cans locked away. Like, you couldn't just open the thing and be like, oh, get a Coke, get a Red Bull. It was a display case. It was locked with a key. So people were, like, stealing Red Bulls because they wanted Destiny code. It's like,
Yeah, they were stealing them because they were shipping them over to us for a black market price.
This is huge markup.
This is serious business. There's, like, a deep, seedy underground world of
What you have to, Charlie? Bit of skag, bit of heroin. Nah. I want Red Bull, mate. Red Bull, Destiny codes. Got any of them?
Hey, man.
Nah, mate. Gone.
So I heard you were looking for Red Bulls.
Yeah. I'm buying.
What are you buying?
But anyway, I'm really excited to see it come back. It was so much fun for me. It was so addictive, but like in a good clean way, not crazy. Yeah. But
I'll be playing.
It got me out of Crucible.
I'll be playing it because I go and visit my folks in the UK at Christmas. So I'll be sitting on their sofa in the living room with the. Wrapped up in a blanket in front of the fire with all the Christmas decorations around, playing a bit of SRL early in the morning. I'm looking forward to that.
That's a beautiful, touching little image right there.
It is.
Thanks for sharing that Hallmark card.
Yeah, man. they have lovely little decorations and stuff, and it's a very cozy, small house. And, you know, like, I grew up there, obviously, you know, being my folks' place. So it's good, man. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how I'm going to deal with the whole podcast thing unless I somehow manage to pull a laptop out of somewhere, like a decent laptop, because I'm quite happy to, you know, they've got good enough internet to do that kind of thing. But the current laptop that I've got, it's like 10 years old. That ain't streaming nothing on it, you know? Nothing. It's too slow. But, yeah. Have to see how that goes, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what do you guys say we talk a little bit about Trials?
Yeah, man.
Excellent.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Floating Gardens. It's a Marmite map. You either love it or you hate it. And I think...
I hate it.
I did it first. I mean, like, it's always one of them things. The Trials has thrown some maps at me that I've gone, oh, no, bad map, bad, very bad. Played it for, like, 6 hours. Good map, I like this. This is addictive, you know, carry on, please. And Floating Gardens, I think it's a good map. I think I think one of the main causes of complaints from folk is that the way that it plays. Like, I really don't like the way that it plays. And my observations were that's because the flag spawn was put in a pretty awkward and bad place. Like, it wasn't, it should have been put elsewhere instead of where it is at the moment, because you seem to have two types of opponent that you're regularly up against. The opponent that will run to the top circular mm-hmm. platform and yep. defend it for love and money, you know, or the you have a lot of engagements on the stairs going up to that. I hate those stairs. The amount of times I got caught out on those stairs by a smoke grenade or a skip grenade or whatever. You either need to get up in there really quickly and take it, or, you know, like, try and pick people off before you get up there. But yeah, like the flag spawning there in that location, it should have been on the bridge, on top of the bridge, or below the bridge, I reckon. And that would have definitely made some more interesting use of the map, you know.
Below the bridge would have been...
nasty.
Bananas. I can't nasty.
You have so much cover there. Yeah.
Well, on geez. Top, you've got, like, angles everywhere. And I think, really, flags should be in situations where there's angles everywhere. So you can't camp the flag. You know, camping the flag just makes the most linear and bland gameplay ever. Because if Cauldron. Cauldron's a great map. But stick the flag inside the temple in the palace? Why? Because it's like, everyone's like, run. Let's shoot through doors and camp in there. We love to camp in there, you know.
It's very challenging. Yeah. I was actually surprised, because when I found out that the map was Floating Gardens, I thought right away, oh, the community might like this because it's a symmetrical map. Now, you sometimes get complaints from people who really love PvP saying things like, the map wasn't balanced. You have... like, map with high ground and low ground, and sometimes people, one side of the map is clearly, quote, better than the other side of the map. You guys can think of some maps like that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Blind watch.
But, right. But for Floating Gardens, symmetrical, it's not really that big of a problem, but people still found the map very challenging, because I think if you don't rush the top stairway right away... you might find yourself in a little bit of a pickle, because now you have to push from the bridge, which is a little challenging, or you have to rotate around the staircases to the outside, which may be a little predictable for people defending top mid.
Mm-hmm.
But then rushing top mid becomes very difficult right off the bat, because if you don't have a subclass with a good grenade game, or if you don't have good mid-range weapons, then it's a little tough. Because I had some games where you would run right up top, and then, you know, teammate right over the shoulder, boom, hard scoped, and you're like, oh, crap, well, that's the end of this round.
It was the nades. I think every team that I played with, like, if the best strategy to get control over top mid was to get up those stairs and past the stairs, like, get inside and try and get angles on the other staircase without getting caught on the stairs, because you're funneled into an area, and even you've got a staircase, and then over that there's like a balcony kind of area that's separated by a wall that was very easy to snipe onto. But like a smoke, an avoid wall, and a scatter. There was one team that we went up against whose grenade game was on point. They wiped us at the first round. We got up onto the stairs. We were really handsomely spread out. There was only me on the staircase. There was the other two guys on the outer balcony. Mm-hmm. And they had axiom bolts, a smoke and a void wall, and a scatter. And literally all three of us, boom, wiped. And we were all neatly spread out as well. We weren't like in each other's pockets. So that was like bang. And I'm like, wow, we need to get past this staircase and inside and, like, you know, set up camp a little bit faster and a little bit better, you know. But we also came across teams that played the bridge really well. Like, I think they almost expected these guys are just going to camp the top, or, you know, this seems to be the really go-to strategies to take control over the flag and just camp it. So they ended up splitting into three, really risky, but they did a really good job of it by coming at from each spawn and the bridge and doing it very, very well.
I played on Xbox with my girlfriend and another friend of mine, and we went flawless. And then I played with Bonesy over on PlayStation 4, and we went flawless there, which was nice. But it was the strategy that we had the most success with was usually we had, it was either one of two things. Either everyone went top staircase immediately. Like, we would all push as hard as we could, throw grenades across to the other staircase right away, just in case they're coming up that way.
Yeah.
That was plan A. And then plan B was maybe one person would go up top staircase, and then you'd have two people go back right up to the bridge right away. And not to play on the bridge and hang out there for too long. It was more of a see if you can get an angle.
Yeah.
If they're playing passive on their staircase, then one person on the bridge, see if you can get that angle. See if you can get a couple team shots in there while other person moves into top. But if the other team was all coming in up that staircase right away and our one man on the bridge was outnumbered, then, I mean, the one man on the staircase was outnumbered, then the two folks from bridge would push in, throw nades, team shot, do whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
But it was very tricky. You have a lot of people who played very intelligently. You know, they're not going to get baited. They're not going to open themselves up to those team shots. And sometimes people said, F it, and they ran right off the bat to back bridge, all of them. And if they didn't get top control, they were going to bleed that clock, man, until the last second.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure this didn't happen to any of you pros, but just maybe. Did anybody have an issue where your side would get rushed on the stairs and then you'd be blinded by the sun trying to kill the guys? That is the only reason that I really hated the map, like those moments when I was like,
trying
I can't
to fight
see
up
what
the
I'm
stairs.
Yeah.
If you were late and you were trying to like pick up a strat that had failed and you were having to try and fight up those stairs. The sunlight was, it's pretty aggressive, man. But that's like, again, it's like the benefit of taking flag control, you know. And I think that's what would make the map a lot more interesting and varied is by taking the flag and putting it elsewhere on that one, you know. Because why would you want to take that top mid area? I think there's so many areas in that map. Like, it's quite big, you know, and there was like so many different lanes.
It is.
And like,
it was
and
a really, really big map.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sizable map.
You know, and the engagements were literally happening in this tiny area. Like, the hotspots were literally like really.
Like 25% of the map was being used.
Yeah. And that's due to the placement of the capture flag at the end of the round, you know. Move that, and I reckon you'd explore a lot more area of the map, I think.
If you're playing in the game on this map between now and Tuesday and you're holding that top control because you're waiting for the flag to pop up, then I recommend that once you start getting down to that time where you have to make a decision, you have to take control of the zone, try to bait it.
Mm-hmm.
That works a lot because normally what happens is people know if people are back on the bridge, they're way in the back of the map, they don't have top control. You have top control. They're thinking, crap, we have to make our move and get in there because when the flag pops up, they're going to go for it. They have the upper hand. And they will often wait until they see that the zone is starting to get captured. They'll wait for that ticker notification, the circle. And then right when they see that, they're going to start pushing. So literally what I've done before, and you'd be surprised how often this works, is you just put your big toe in for a second and then take five steps back.
Yeah.
Because even though you've stepped down in the zone, they're going to come for you.
Yeah.
And it's all you need to do is just bait it real quick because you have the map control and they need to come to you. So don't rush taking that territory if it comes down to the wire.
Yeah. And Striker Titans, the amount of positions that you can throw a lightning grenade in on that circular area and get a team wipe or a double kill in an instant. Because when I played as my Striker Titan, I threw a grenade from the bottom bridge, threw it up and over, and it hit the wall. Double kill! You know, like, I mean, go into a private match, load up Floating Gardens and practice where, you know, to get it. So literally the lightning grenade angles in directly on the flag. There's loads of positions that you can toss one up there and get that. So that's
anywhere
an interesting
on that
one.
Curved wall, the lightning will just go right into where you want it to go.
Yep.
Damn good grenade option.
Yep.
Gosh, it was so funny. Bones and I'll tell a story because he's not here, but Bones and I were playing, and we were trying to help our friend get to the lighthouse, which we eventually did. and we were pretty smooth sailing for a while, and then we went up against a team of kids, and they were going ham right away. Mm-hmm. Right away. And they were doing crazy stuff that you see in, like, montages on YouTube and stuff like jumping up, jumping sniper shots, you know, quickscoping.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was like, well, I got to give it to them. They're playing well. I'm kind of pissed off, but they're playing well. And then one of them no-scoped Bones with a Queen Breaker's bow and then started humping.
Oh.
And I was watching him through the death cam, and Bones is like, we didn't say it, but we were just kind of like, all right, that's enough. We've had enough.
We're not going to take it anymore.
And then he went crazy. He went on it. I went on a 5-kill streak. And Bones went on a 10-kill streak.
Jeez.
He came back and won. But it's communication. I cannot tell you how important communication is.
Yeah.
Because the game really did almost come down to the wire. There was one moment where it was 4-4, and I was the last one against one of their people being the last one.
Yeah.
And there was like a wombo combo right in the area, and I was going to try and rotate out. And Bones tells me, no, he's absolute. And so I spun around, shot my shotgun from it. It was so far away, because if they have no health, you don't really need to care about far away your shotgun is. You just want to hit him with a pellet.
Yeah,
and he went down. And if Bones hadn't told me that he was absolute, then we probably would have lost the round, because I would have gone and fucked something up on my own.
Communication is key.
Communication is so important. It's very difficult to get that mentality out of your head. I still have trouble with it, because you're trying really hard to do your best. You don't want to let your friends down. You don't want to let your teammates down.
Mm-hmm.
And you get killed. And in the heat of the moment, you just want to say, oh, damn it, God, I'm so angry. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that he did this and I did that. And I understand the frustration. And it happens to everybody. But you have to temporarily put that on the back burner. You have to relay information to your teammates. You have to tell them what killed you. Where they are, what weapon are they using, where are they going, what are they doing, what's the information that you need to tell? Because you can come back through communication alone.
Mm-hmm. Play a position, I think that prioritizing the what it is that you're trying to communicate, like not what killed you or who killed you, like straight away, it's like where is the person that killed you going and what kind of state are they in, are they like full health, you know, so you can tell. I have great difficulty checking who's got charged super sometimes. It's such a very vague and small thing for me to pick up on. But, you know, you're looking for that slight flash around the rank number, around that 4-0, whether they've got, like, a super or not. You know, so relaying all that kind of information and prioritizing the positionings is definitely a lot more beneficial than, oh, my God, I just got slammed by a sniper.
You know. Slammed by a sniper.
Yeah. I'm dead. Where from?
If
I don't know.
Slammed by a sniper, I feel like you really need to go to the ER.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to you. Not pretty, though.
But, you know, like I forgot what I was going to say now. All I'm thinking about is being slammed by a sniper.
Slammed by a sniper.
Yes.
God!
I just feel like Fallout's going to come and start meditating to build my mind game or something. That's the real secret. Yeah.
You know something interesting that happened the more I played Floating Gardens? If you're on one particular side of the map, the way that the sun was hitting the map, I would rush bottom bridge. And if the other team is going up the top staircase to go top middle, you could see on the wall under the bridge the shadow.
Yeah.
So I'm running over there, and right away I'm saying there's one going up top. I know there's one going up top, or there's two going up top. My friend's like, how are you knowing this? You're rushing bridge. I'm like, see the shadow on the wall.
Follow the clues.
Oh, my God. Gosh. Do you know that underneath the bridge as well, the wall that separates the two halves of the map, directly underneath the bridge, there is a hole that you can shoot through. as well. There was a friend of mine that we were playing just a few hours ago, and he shot through that hole and killed someone who was camping underside the bridge. They were on the bridge. They'd got hurt. They were nearly absolute. They'd dropped down, and they were literally crouched in the corner, and he shot them through the hole in the wall. So go and have a look for that. Right underneath the bridge, the wall, there is a hole just there, and you can shoot right through
it. There is a hole.
So, hey,
I was unaware of that.
Real quick, because this is a live podcast, we have a. I'm reading the Twitch chat as well as looking at all of your beautiful faces.
Thank you.
There's a question from our enemy, and I know it's not time for questions yet, but he says, "How do you counter a rushing team up top?" Which is a good question, because sometimes a lot of the players on the other team would all just bum rush
push for it.
Top middle. It really matters what your subclass is. If you're going to try and challenge back, that's okay, but you just have to make sure that you're doing it the right way. So what my team did when I was challenging up top, you want to run up and you want to throw a grenade, but you don't want to expose yourself to a hard scope. So rather than running up the stairs and popping out and saying, "Hey, look at me," and then throwing your nade, I would jump and throw a nade while in the air, and then I would make sure to fall down behind the wall. That last part is very important, because if you jump too far, if you land on the wall or in front of the wall, you can get picked off. But it was just run up, jump, throw a grenade, land behind the wall on that back railing area, and then play it by ear. Did you hit one of them with the grenade? Did you, are your teammates helping you out? Because if you have the opportunity, you can then push in. If you didn't get anybody with that grenade, that's fine, but you kind of have to reevaluate, figure out what you need to do next, maybe back up with your team, rotate around behind the map. If they take the top control, there's no rule that says you need to take it back right away. You can play patiently, you know?
Coming like above, instead of like coming around the corners at head height and stuff, like you can always try and travel around into that upper mid area overhead, you know, coming from an angle on the vertical plane rather on the horizontal. Definite good advice there. Absolutely.
And if that you have the Shinobu's Vow that Zer was giving away,
it's good.
That is a handy way to try and take control top mid.
Yes, very handy.
We had a team of three all running that, and that was
was
quite difficult to deal with.
Skip nades everywhere.
Well, three lots of skip grenades straight away. Yeah, that was that was nice. I enjoyed that.
Got to adjust there.
Yeah, just a little. Resistance to
the
arc.
It doesn't stack with the artifact.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, all in all, though, I don't think initially you think, oh, okay, this is going to be a really bad map. But I had some really good games on there. It's a tough map to enjoy, definitely, because of the where the flag spawns. And it basically, I think it gives the map a weakness. When it is a good map, it can have a nice flow. It has got lots of options. It's just that having that flag spawn there does limit the gameplay quite a lot. So the only thing that you've got to do is adapt to that straight away and try and counter it in the best way that you can. And fortunately, it does promote some very kind of linear, bland kind of gameplay, because if you've got a team that are just dug in there, you didn't quite get up the stairs fast enough, or if they pushed you back with too much grenade spam, and you're way out of it, there's no way that you're getting the top control. You've got to try and get a way in there, and, you know, like force your way in there and try and get some weaknesses. That can be a little on the boring side, admittedly, you know, trying to pick a hole in the fence to squeeze through, you know. But
at the end
all
of the
in
day,
all
though, it's still trials, and trials is fun, so
yeah, man. And loot wise as well, we're getting some very interesting weapons. As we talked about last week, there are some very interesting guns that you get from playing trials now, and you have a chance at those from just getting 5 wins on your card. No, 7 wins. 7 wins for the weapon, 5 wins for the armor. Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. But Iron Banner guns were better, in my opinion. They were miles better than the Trials
guns. And they were
guns.
More frequent.
Yeah, more frequent. Absolutely.
I don't know. But there's just something about playing Trials that, you know what I mean? It's like, it just really gets your blood pumping.
I love it, man. It's so intense. I was trying to explain this to some of our friends that you know, I come from a PC gaming background primarily, and one of them, a good friend of mine, has joined the Destiny crew. He's been playing now for a month, 2 months, and we played Trials with him for the first time of the weekend, and he's really, really enjoying it. Finds it very challenging. I'm like, Destiny PvP is some of the most difficult, challenging, intense, rewarding PvP that is around multiplayer-wise, you know. And Trials is a great encapsulation of all of that. 3v3 elimination. It plays very differently to all the other 3v3 game modes. There's very little margin for error. But I think it's that strategy, that the team play, the whole, you know, finding a weakness, taking advantage of that weakness and really driving it home. That's why aggressive play is so beneficial, but not just blind aggression. You're looking at coordinated, pinpoint, nicely timed aggression, you know, synchronized aggression, you know, and that is something that I'm trying to learn and develop how to do. Like, I played Trials from the very, very beginning, and we've played passively with snipers. We've played, you know, sensibly, but always the teams that we would lose to are the, what I would call the aggressive three-person wall of death, kind of. They would just close in on you so quickly, and they would give you no breathing space, and they were, like, unstoppable. And that was a gameplay that I actually admired, because that takes... that takes some, you know, courage to play like that, and coordination. Yeah. And it's really rewarding, though, because you're in there and you've wiped them, and you've wiped them within the first 30 seconds of the game. And it wasn't, you know, any other reason other than you've coordinated that wall of death just right. You know, so I love it. I love Trials. It's nice to see that it's back after our 3 week, our 3 week hiatus, our 3 week break.
That's true. Yeah.
But anything else, like, strats wise for Floating Gardens while we're on the subject?
You know, I was thinking about this a lot today, and you can talk about strategy that is map specific, which you can always do.
Yeah.
But the more I play Trials every week, the more I start to think that it's less and less about specific map strategy, and it's more about general overall trial strategy, which you can kind of apply to almost any map that you play on. It's like a very umbrella sort of tactics that I've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. I can go over them. I mean, I don't want to go too long here, but I know we like going off on our tangents.
Yeah, man. Why not?
So, I was actually playing Trials with Mega here last week. It was his first weekend playing Trials, which I was happy to play with him. And we played with my brother, and we were kind of burned out because we had been doing Trials all weekend. But we didn't get to the lighthouse. We were one game away.
We were very close, yes.
One game. We're going to make it happen.
None of Fallout's fault at all. All me, trust me.
But... It was so much fun, and what I was telling Mega for general trial strategy, here it is. Visualize a game of dodgeball. So when you're a kid, you play dodgeball, and the game begins. Where are both teams? They're both kind of at the back of their respected sides of the court, right? Mm-hmm. And every now and then, you have one person will come up to try and throw the ball. They'll move closer towards the middle of the court, and then they'll throw, but then they'll pedal back, because if you stay too much on the front line while your enemy team is at full strength, you can potentially very easily get picked off, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I want you to picture a dodgeball game at the end of the game, and one team is at full strength and the other team has one player remaining. So where is the one player remaining? He's way at the back, right? Because he's trying to stay alive. And where is the team that has all of their players? Where they're all at half court because they greatly outnumber him. They're putting the pressure on. There's no reason for them to stay back anymore. They're trying to pick this kid off. And Trials is very much the same way as a game of dodgeball. So you start off, You're playing in the neutral game. You're playing that footsies, you know what I mean? You're trying to get control. You don't push too hard right away because you could overextend and get picked off. You coordinate with your teammates. You're playing careful. And then it happens. You get a kill. And now you're up 3-2. So like dodgeball, what do? You move forward a little bit. And your enemy team likely will fall back a little bit because they're getting pushed. And it's very important that you use that number advantage. Always important to use the number advantage. And then you keep playing careful. You're trying to look for another moment, but you're pushing slowly. Now you get another kill. And it's 3v1. Hmm. Where is your team now? You are full court pressing this fellow because you want to just knock him out. It's literally like dodgeball.
Close the gaps. Close the gaps and collapse.
Close the gap. Yeah.
Don't give him the opportunity. Second most important piece of advice you gave me while playing. First most important was don't get sniped.
Don't get sniped. Because think about it from the other team's perspective, like the losing team's perspective. You're playing that game of dodgeball, and like I said, it's all a snowball effect, and it all kicks off when one person dies. So you don't want to be that guy to die right away or at any time. And then you, because as soon as one person dies, your team is put at a disadvantage immediately. Because any smart team in trials is, they're going to be like, okay, time to move forward.
That's a window of opportunity that has just opened. So I'm reaching in and I'm grabbing that pie.
So that's what I always tell people when we do trials runs. I say, rule number one, don't die.
Yeah.
I don't care if you get no kills by the end of the game. I truly, truly do not care. Just play careful. Because even if you're not contributing directly, that's fine. Because we'll play the footsies. We'll go back and forth. And when we ultimately get that kill in the neutral game, I'll be like, all right, it's time to move up. Come with me. Just as long as you play very cautious.
Come, my children. Follow me now.
And as long as you take that basic logic, you can. I know that's very broad strategy advice, but still, you can take it and you can apply that to any map.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I want Fallout to explain everything to me in children's terms. Maybe I can get better at PvP.
Yeah, man.
I'll do my best.
There you go. Trials of Osiris broken down in dodgeball terms. Makes sense.
Making me want to play, though.
Me too.
Makes you want to play Trials or dodgeball?
Trials. I don't want to play dodgeball.
So I'll play dodgeball.
I'd like to challenge you all to a dodgeball game. All right. Then we'll
accepted.
I didn't have that when we were at school. We just had football and rugby, and I dodged all of that. So maybe that was my own dodgeball. I played guitar. Everyone else broke their noses in rugby, and I played guitar instead.
You were just sensitive in the back playing the guitar.
Yeah.
There you go.
Plotting. But yeah, man. That's it. Right. I'm itching to play a bit of Trials now.
There you go.
Me too.
Well, what do you guys think? We got a little time for some Q&A? Yes.
I think so. It's the perfect time. Let's open up the floodgates for Q&A.
Floodgates are now open.
Chat, take it away. Give us
take
some,
it away. And give you us some guys questions. Find a good question in the chat. Hold on to it, and I'll fill the gaps right here with the questions on Twitter. How about that?
Excellent, beautiful. Man. Excellent.
Great.
Let's do it.
Thoughts on the trials, man? Okay, we already talked about
that. Oh, hey, look at that. Perfect. Let's just start over, guys. Let's say everything we just said.
Okay, here's a question. What is the best pizza topping?
Oh
man.
You thought it was going to be a Destiny question, didn't you?
I mean, you don't want to... Do you go with the obvious pepperoni? Or, I mean, that's the classic.
There's a reason it's the most popular, right?
Pepperoni's pretty good. It's hard to beat pepperoni.
I'm a big fan of spicy Italian sausage myself. I need a little bit of heat on my pizza. Right.
Can I just say meat lovers? Is that an appropriate answer?
Yes, yeah, just all meat.
All of that
every
together.
Give it to me.
Although, you know, I'm a big fan, and a lot of people are as divisive on this as they are on Floating Gardens. I love Hawaiian pizza. It's so good to me. See, someone made a noise. Someone's not feeling it.
No.
Someone
went... Take the pineapple away from the pizza.
It's good.
Heresy.
Don't put fruit on my pizza. Fruit goes in a salad or in a bowl of pudding. Not on my pizza.
Not on a pizza.
I think the best topping for a pizza is probably half a kilo of rare steak with cheese on top of it, maybe, possibly.
Are you sure you're not
American? Rare steak.
Maybe. Right. I might have been.
If you're not, you just became... Yeah. Come on, yeah. Everybody. Just hop on over. We got you,
but fam. Yeah, but then now my intercontinental will come in, because I like a bit of blue cheese possibly on the top of that. That doesn't sound very American to me.
My man. I got into a huge Twitter argument a couple weeks ago.
On blue cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hundreds. There was the biggest argument I've ever gotten into on Twitter.
Like, about the only
wasn't anything to do with Destiny. It wasn't shotguns or balance. It was blue cheese.
Yeah, it was. I was traveling for a friend's wedding, and I just said that I was eating wings at a bar, and I did a Twitter poll as a joke because I thought that everyone was going to be like, "Oh yeah, blue cheese on wings for sure." But so many people were picking ranch, and I was blown away at how many people take ranch over blue cheese. We're going way off topic here.
Yeah, whatever.
I like blue cheese.
Important.
I never liked it as a kid, but then I moved over here.
Facing the world,
they have
today.
Blue cheese on a gingerbread cracker, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Blue cheese and a gingerbread, and I'm bitten. I was like, oh my god,
gingerbread.
It really works. It's like strawberries and champagne. The two things complement each other in a crazy way that you just wouldn't think imaginable. So there you go. Try it.
Okay. Blue cheese,
anyway,
and gingerbread.
Good question from Lanky T. I got another one here from Jimmy McClanahan. What are your thoughts on Destiny 2 possibly having raid matchmaking?
Ooh, that I don't want to try that.
No. I don't see how it would ever work, because all the raids in the... I mean... Maybe later on, because even with your regular teams, when you've lived and breathed a raid and it's got to the point where you know exactly where to be and it's all like second nature, you're on autopilot, maybe people who are that well in tune with all the mechanics could possibly pull off matchmaking. But in the beginning, there's just too much emphasis on communication, and some people don't have mics or don't think, okay, I need to talk.
I can't imagine trying to go in blind, like, your first time into a raid in matchmaking.
Oh, I mean, it's enough of a stress if you're going on an LFG group and you don't know, you've never gamed with any of the people at all. Yeah. You have no idea what it's going to be like when there's a puzzle that needs solving. Is there going to be, like, intense, you know, negotiations and possible arguments and heated discussion and all that kind of thing? I think there's a very good reason why raids have not been opened up for matchmaking. I can't see it ever really working.
I mean, if they want to put it in, they can, but I can't fathom who would actually attempt it or subject themselves to that kind of hell.
Saying that, though, I'd like to watch some of that as video entertainment for a good laugh.
I would watch a Twitch stream of trying to beat a raid in matchmaking. Yeah.
Like,
two guys.
We know Bungie's thought about that.
Yeah.
We know they thought about having matchmaking for raids, and I think the real reason they haven't done it is really just that. Could you imagine going through your first time in Kingsfall, Kingsfall of all things, heroic mode, in a matchmade group with a bunch of people you've never played with before, some of which probably don't have microphones? That would be a rough experience.
Yeah, man. I mean, look at what happens with strikes. I mean, it's like you know, like, I spawned into a strike, there's one guy AFK, doesn't do anything, there's another guy that runs on ahead, then there's another guy running into a wall and disappearing and teleporting and stuff. And,
I mean,
you know,
you still see people who are having trouble with the mechanics in the Sepix Perfected fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was running strikes the other day, and I had this guy who just kept killing captains, grabbing the cannon, and then using it on enemies, but not Sepix. So it was a frustrating 15-minute experience.
The Court of Oryx is another mechanic. Yeah, that shines a big spotlight on the fact that some people have absolutely no idea what is occurring. It's just, I play games to shoot stuff. Yep. I'm shooting stuff. I'll shoot this stuff. Why am I shooting this big guy with the sword and he's not dying? You know, it's like
people who can't beat Crota still. Like, don't.
That's baby Crota.
Like, run away! And it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. No.
You know, it'd be interesting going into a raid with a whole group, everyone going in for the first time blind with no microphones.
Oh no!
Yes. Do you want to hate everybody in that group?
Yeah, I think the goal isn't to beat the raid. It's who is the last person to destroy their console.
I think I'd rather sit naked on an ant's nest. To be honest,
oh my God.
That would be more to the
point.
It would
be less painful.
Yeah. Okay, how about this: blind raid, no microphones, or Hawaiian pizza.
Blind raid, no microphones.
I'll go with the pineapple. Give me the put the fruit on the pizza. I think. Give me the fruit.
Just. Oh man. Right. Yeah. Well, I've got one here from Battle Boxes TV. If you guys want to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
He says, "How do you maintain faith in yourself after having a rough week? Demolished last exit, but now I'm falling apart and losing my faith in my ability to perform." I think this
That's
is a very
question.
Important question because it's
question.
Something really I think everybody here has gone through, right? We've all had our rough weeks in Destiny, especially
every week,
in PvP.
I think if you're feeling like that, the best thing that you can do, or the thing that I like to do, is go and watch some very good streamers, like Sweats players, really skilled Trials players, and just listen to the conversations that they're having with their teammates when things are going badly, or if there are mechanics at work in the game that they have issues with. You know, I think this will give you confidence, because if you know one of your favorite streamers, or you know a good player is also feeling that way, it was like, it just brings it home. Everyone has days like that.
Yeah.
And when you're playing Crucible, you have to remember we have very aggressive win-loss ratio preservation in effect. It's designed to give people wins, because we have bounties that are based on wins. The Bungie feel that Destiny is a game for everybody and everyone needs to have a win every now and again. So it will handicap the teams in order to promote a win. This happens all the time. It's like immensely challenging. So if you're playing solo, just remember that those are in effect. You might not have a positive KD. You might not have won. It doesn't matter. Like, you're going to have these horrible, horrible days, but it doesn't mean that you're any less of a player, and it certainly doesn't mean that you should feel bad about yourself. If you're feeling that way, just everyone does. Everyone gets that stuff, man. Just pick yourself up and carry on, you know. Tomorrow's another day, and there's always a sympathy win. Where you just go ham on people that literally probably have no controllers plugged into their PlayStations or Xboxes. So, not that
just
that's
start,
fun.
Just start messaging people, please let me win. That's what I'm for.
I'll send you Hawaiian pizza. Yeah.
That was a very thorough answer, Story. I was going to add to that, but I think you just pretty much nailed it.
I mean, the other thing that we could add is recommended good players. I'm going to go ahead and say, you want to watch Fallout for sure. I've learned a lot by watching his stuff. The Introduction to Sweats, fantastic stuff. War Bulletproof, True Vanguard, Ramblin', Dr. Lupo, all of these guys, they are very, very verbal in what's going on. Ninja with Noel, they talk about all the kinds of strats. They also have very good complaints. You know, if they're complaining about something, you know, I think that...
Some of them.
Yeah. I would say the majority of the stuff, they notice. I think really good players notice where there is a problem. Okay, this is too powerful. This is too weak. Or, you know, this is a very difficult thing to go up against. Giggle Monster is streaming Iron Banner at the moment on a team with one Nightstalker and just stack Stormcallers to see how quickly they can teams can be mercied. They're having tremendous success, and they're on an amazing win streak at the moment, you know what I mean? So watching these people is a real, it's a really healthy good flow of knowledge. You know, I consume a lot of Destiny streams from good streamers. If anyone ever wants to know who I'd like to recommend, just hit me up on Twitter and I'll point you in the direction.
Very good point.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
I got a question here from Amon. And the question is, can auto rifles be competitive? If so, how? They are my favorite primary, but they seem outgunned. by all other primary types? That's a very rough question, because what a lot of it boils down to is time to kill on paper. A lot of Destiny PvP mechanics are basically based on numbers, and it is kind of unfortunate that auto rifles are a little behind the strength of hand cannons and pulse rifles, and even some scout rifles in the meta right now. But you can make any gun competitive to a degree. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be using auto rifles. If they're your favorite, you can make them work. I mean, take a look at some people. Like, shotguns currently are sitting at the top of the special meta right now, in my opinion.
Yes. Absolutely.
But you still have folks like True Vanguard, who will roll in with a fusion rifle and then he'll just ruin people. Like, a smart player can make guns work for them if you work at it hard enough. Of course, on paper, some guns will always still be on paper a little bit better, but you can make it work.
There's always that human factor, you know.
And understanding that all weapons have base stats, and then they have the perks, and those base stats with a combination of perks and vice versa can make or break the gun. You know, like, there are a lot of auto rifles at the moment can still be like strong enough with the right perks. It seems like counterbalance is like a go-to perk. If you're playing Iron Banner at the moment, you'll see that you're being showered in unbent trees. There only seems to be very specific perk combinations that actually make that auto rifle in any way, shape or form usable or competitive, and counterbalance is a definite go-to perk to have on an auto rifle. Dead Orbit Extremophile, that can get some stunning rolls on it. A Soul Stealer's Claw from Varix packages is literally like a pre-nerf doctrine if you get counterbalance and another stability perk on it. A friend of mine swears by it, and he's still using it to this day to a great effect. You just have to back it up with the right special. Queensbreaker Bow, before the sniper flinch, you know, thing, Queensbreaker Bow and a Soul Stealer's Claw was literally money, you know, and it still kind of is. You just have to be very conscientious of being shot at with things like high caliber rounds and such, you know.
Yeah. And go in with a plan. If you know that you're going to go in with a specific auto rifle, like of a certain archetype, let's say you're going to go in with the Doctrine passing, right? That's your auto rifle of choice. Go in with a plan. Say to yourself, okay, here's the map that we're loading into. I'm going to be deadliest at mid-range. So I am going to avoid parts of the map that do not support mid-range combat. Long sniper alleys, I'm going to avoid that. Very wide open spaces, I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to stick to these parts of the map because they favor the gun that I'm bringing to the fight. That's what you want to try and do.
Absolutely. And
I mean, that's a lesson to take into pretty much every primary weapon in the game. You really need to be aware of your weapon's effective range, because outside of that effective range, you're going to get beat 9 times out of 10. And when it comes to auto rifles, you have to be really careful with that. If you're going to be running a Doctrine, you have to be mid to close range, because a Doctrine, that archetype, can kill in what, 13 body shots?
Something like that.
It's like it's a pretty fast body shot time to kill, but it's only viable in close to mid range. So you got to be really, really careful with your engagements and how you plan them. So yeah, Fallout, absolutely right on that.
And the specific perks as well, like the Doctrine. Everyone was chasing that Doctrine with counterbalance on it. You know, there are other versions. I kept getting the one with Rodeo on it, which is, it's just not the same. The recoil pattern is too aggressive, and it you end up missing too many shots. And although it's got a high rate of fire, the horizontal and vertical recoil is causing too many missed shots. With counterbalance, it's more the whole projectile spread is a lot smaller and giving you a much more lenient, you know, tighter aim on that one. So it's, you have to test these things out. If you feel that the recoil is a little bit much, then maybe look for a different loadout, a different perk set on a different kind of auto rifle, you know, because they can, it, perks can really break a gun's chance at like success. I find that with reinforced barrel on hand cannons, you know, if you've got a difference between two equally skilled players having a fight at an effective range with a hand cannon, one's got rifle barrel or brace frame and the other one has reinforced barrel, The reinforced barrel guy is going to be at a severe disadvantage just because the muzzle kicks up more, so you can't get more shots downwind fast enough. So it's a battle of like the faster fire rate and the faster reset on bringing your sights back to the center of the screen.
Well put. We think we got time for one more question?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
All right. Here we go. I got one. Here's a question from Red Teku. This is an interesting question. What are your thoughts about a 6v6 trials game type?
Well, you can have that in custom matches, can't
that's
you?
True.
You can.
That's true. He specifically says, though, in matchmaking.
In matchmaking, I don't
How
know.
How would you feel?
Chaos would, you know.
Yeah.
That's
absolute chaos.
Basically.
I mean,
you know what we saw at that previous tournament a month or so back? That's what it would be, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. Trying to get three guys to communicate well is hard enough. Getting six guys to communicate.
That's a lot of call-outs.
Yeah. That early game, neutral game footsies would be crazy. You would go for like a minute and a half with no two people too afraid to engage each other because the snowball effect would be huge with a 6v6.
Doesn't mean to say that it wouldn't be a funny thing to watch, but I think it's more in the kind of unique, comical, you know, that kind of crazy kind of, you know, things rather than something serious or competitive because it's a bit much. I mean, in 6v6... there's a lot of players that prefer 3v3 for a reason, because a Guardian is an extremely powerful entity in an FPS game, because you got your super, you got your class abilities, and then you've got, you know, a primary, a special, and a heavy weapon. In a lot of FPS games, you've got either or. There's not a combination of everything, plus all the nades and the class abilities and an ultimate super style of thing. So when you start putting more of those into a mix, it just gets crazy chaotic, you know.
It would be less for the competition and more for the lulls.
Yeah. The comical. The comical value is definitely strong with that one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But good question. Good question.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys.
PD 6v6 elimination stream one day. Yeah, if I can
do it.
If I can find a legal form of crack that's going to facilitate the state of mind to cope with that kind of pressure, then maybe possibly.
All right. Really quickly, guys, let's go around before we cut things off for the night. Where can we find all of us?
At this precise moment, at home in bed.
Good call.
Yes.
In my pajamas.
Where can we find you on the internet?
I'm going to put this in chat because it's trying to explain how I've spelled my shenanigans.
Oh, yes.
If you type that in Google, you'll find me everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, Google, Twitter, everywhere. Twitch. Yeah, you can find me there.
Absolutely everywhere.
And if you come to find me, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to do that. So thank you. Yeah, over to you, Fallout.
You can find me on twitch.tv/falloutplays and youtube.com/falloutplays. Mega?
You can find me. Do a quick search of Husky Raid for your goofy, stupid stuff that's not awesome gameplay like everybody else here. If you need a break. And you can also find me at Husky Raid Guys on Twitter. That's it. Black Link.
Yeah, well, thank you. You can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet at The Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube all at The Black Link. I generally do daily Destiny shenanigans and whatnot. And I also stream right here on the Planet Destiny Twitch page on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So, a lot of places, a lot of fun. Right on, boys.
Right on.
Excellent.
Well right put, on. Buddy. Well put.
Sir.
Almost
like I've shielded before.
I need to come and join you actually on some of these streams during the week, man. For sure, man. Come and squad up with you and have some lulzies.
Have a good time. Get in on some of my drop disappointments.
Oh, well, no, we can share that.
we
can share that
together.
Maybe if we combine our bad luck, there'll be some kind of negative, positive reaction that would end up giving us even more good luck, possibly.
Maybe. Or just
completely
negate out.
I don't know, it just sounds like doubling up on the bad juju.
I see what you did there.
Oh, Lord.
10 out of 10.
God.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for the podcast tonight. We really appreciate you all being here. We always have a good time doing this. I mean, always being the second time that we've actually done this, but we're really enjoying it. So glad that you guys are showing up.
And thanks for the support. You know, like, really, it's a big thing filling the shoes of the previous crew. You know, it's very nerve-wracking and stuff, but we're having a lot of fun with it, and we really appreciate the support that we've been getting so far.
Yeah, thank you to everybody.
Thank you. Yeah,
and also, make sure you go wish Bones well. He's still not feeling too good, so go hit that man up on Twitter. Yeah, let him know we care.
Hashtag feel better Bones.
Yes.
I'm making that happen right now.